In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Welcome on this beautiful, beautiful morning to each of you. Let's sit back for a brief story. After the Exodus, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. A whole people homeless, 40 years living in tents. They had faced disease, snake bites, infighting, idolatry, mutiny, and even death. Yet even in their suffering, even in their moments of rebellion, God remained with them, feeding and nourishing, leading and guiding, sustaining and healing, and bringing a fulfillment of a promise. You see, God had promised them that after a period of wandering, a long period, they would enter a beautiful, lush, sustaining land to call home, a land flowing with milk and honey, it was said. Because this future home was God's promise to them, it became affectionately known as the Promised Land. And this promise was the focus of their hope. This hope of promised land sustained them through all these difficult years. And when these 40 years of wandering had been fulfilled, God finally brought this people into the promised land. And he did so in a deeply symbolic and prophetic way. First of all, God brought them quite the roundabout way. I mean, they're coming from Egypt, and it would have been simple just to go straight up into the promised land. But God took these people the long way around. Lots of wandering, and then way over here, and coming back in east to west. He did that so that the entrance into the promised land would only happen by crossing through the waters of the River Jordan. When they got there, however, the immediate question was, how are we going to cross? How are we going to cross? You see, the river happened to be at flood stage that time of year. Crossing the river like that would mean certain death for thousands of people. The leader at that time was named Joshua, which, by the way, means Jesus in Hebrew. It's not an accident that a man whose name means Jesus was going to lead them into the promised land through the River Jordan. So Joshua had the bearers of the Ark of the Covenant be the first to step in this flooding River Jordan. And when the feet of those who carried the Ark of the Covenant touched the raging river, the waters were miraculously transformed. Instead of being a barrier, I mean literally what would have been certain death, the waters of Jordan stopped upriver. They became a great heap, it says in the scripture, because of the power of the Ark of the Covenant. And the people were able to walk safely across, barely getting their toes wet, through the waters of Jordan and into the promised land. And what was so special about the Ark of the Covenant that it was able to miraculously transform the waters of Jordan from certain death to abundant life? Well, the Ark was a beautiful golden box that contained the presence of God in the form of the tablets of the law and the jar of manna, the bread that had come down from heaven and had sustained them. The Ark was a container that held the Word of God and the bread of God. In other words, the very presence of God's divinity was in this container. And it allowed safe passage through the flood stage Jordan River and entrance into the promised land. Now, some of you may have figured out where I might be going with this little story on this beautiful morning where we're celebrating the beautiful baptism of our beautiful Grace Natalia. The name Grace, even, it means goodness. It means generous gift. She is the good gift and the perfect gift from above. She is very well named. Like all of us, Grace is born so perfect and so beautiful into a very mixed world, a world of incredible joy and incredible blessing, incredible light, and almost unimaginable amounts of love are in this world. and a world with more than its share of brokenness and grief and pain. A world that is definitely off the mark. You might say grace is born into a flood stage world trying to reach the promised land. To set foot into this flood stage world is ultimately a death sentence. Unless the miraculous intervenes. Enter baptism. A water, as we heard, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a divine breath. As Michelle read for us today from Romans, all who are baptized into Christ Jesus are first baptized into his death, buried with Jesus. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we also walk in the newness of life. Of life. This baptismal water, which is first an image of death to all that is old, just like the River Jordan was for the Israelites of old, this water here is also miraculously transformed. And little Grace, our little generous gift of God, is the recipient of the promised land. She walks immediately in the newness of life. And here's where it gets particularly interesting. Little baby Grace is not only a recipient of this miraculous transformation, she is an active participant. And by the way, that's way more than just saying Grace is participating in her baptism. When we say little Grace is an active participant, we also mean she has a part, she has a role in performing the miracle of baptism, not just receiving it. She's also performing it. She's an active agent in it. Now, we would all agree that the Ark of the Covenant had a role in transforming the waters of the River Jordan from death trap to gate to the promised land, because the Ark of the Covenant contained God, contained the Word of God and the bread of God. Well, little Grace here is an Ark of the New Covenant. She contains God. Little Grace contains God. She contains the Word of God. She is a receptacle for the bread of God. Grace herself is the image of God. And when her tiny little toe first touched this water, Grace contributed to the miracle. The same way the Ark of the Covenant did with the River Jordan in the days of Joshua, because of what the Ark contained. Grace contributed to the transformation of these waters because of who she contains. Because God dwells within her. Because the breath of God fills her. Because the love of Jesus Christ permeates her very being. What we say about Grace, we say to all who are filled with the presence of God. Grace is not only an image of God, Grace is also an image of each of us today. She is our collective mirror, reminding us of our great and deepest essence. We are not only recipients of God's miracle, each and every one of us are active and essential participants in God's miracle. Because like baby Grace, we each contain the very presence of God. Amen.